Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us continue with the singing of Psalter 348, stanzas 1 through 4 and 6. With joy and gladness in my soul, I hear the call to prayer. Let us go up to God's own house and bow before Him there, and bow before Him there. 1 through 4 of Psalter 348. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Acts of the Apostles, the 16th chapter, the first 15 verses. Acts 16, verses 1 through 15. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day, and to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, and that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not commit adultery, and thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, and thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, and thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Acts chapter 16. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there, named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep, that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia in the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a river's side, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that as she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, "If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." And she constrained us. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and most high God of the heavens, of the earth, of this whole universe, Thou who bringest to pass Thy eternal decree, everything in Thy counsel that is coming to pass in this world day by day and moment by moment. And now also in this morning hour, on this Thy holy day, and then we also, as Thy creatures, but oh, may it be also as a little part of Thy church here below, that we are also in Thy counsel, and that it is in this morning to make a beginning in the midst of this, our new place, when that Thou hast brought to pass that which Thou hast commanded us, wilt Thou give also in this day a little token that Thou goest before, and that Thou wilt visit us together with Thy presence, with Thy Spirit, and in Thy eternal favor. Lord, without Thee we can do nothing, and we are so unworthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the faithfulness that Thou showest unto us. When we look upon our own life and what it was again in the week that is so quickly gone by, and what our hearts contain, of the earth, earthy, the carnality, the vanity. Oh, it is a wonder that we are spared and that we are allowed a few feet of ground upon this earth, and that thou cuttest not us off in thy anger and in thy hot displeasure. For thou didst say of that first world that repented thee, that thou madest man on the earth. And Lord, still thou dost spare us with our children. And thou givest unto us not only the blessings of this life, but in this thy holy day, thou bringest us around thy holy word and thy everlasting testimony, a privilege that is not granted to so many in this world. Even our neighbors that may live next door to us upon the streets, where we may live, as some having never heard of that way. And thus thou makest a difference with us where there is no difference. For we have all gone aside. We have all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Not one that seeketh after God. O Lord, humble us. Break our hard and stony hearts. Show to us what we are. And give that thy goodness bestowed upon us in so many ways may lead us to a true repentance. And that we may be brought for the first or by renewal with weeping and supplications at thy footstool. Wilt thou look upon us together as thy servant and as a consistory and congregation? Lord, when we may begin our labors among this people, then in the beginning, then we must look also to the ending. For there will also come a time to cease. And what shall be the profit of that which goeth before? It all awaits thy blessing. Oh, we beseech thee then to do what we cannot do. Remember the unconverted. Lord, wilt thou cause many to receive of thy Spirit that light into the knowledge of themselves before God. Oh, to see that we have sinned against thee and that we deserve to be cast away from thee. But wilt thou plant in the heart that love for thee, that cannot miss thee, that cannot do without thee, and that may begin to seek after thee, the children in the days of their youth, before the evil days come. Oh, spoil them for the world. Show to them the blessedness of thy service, and make them jealous, wholly jealous, of the blessed portion of thy people. And wilt thou remember them also in this last week of vacation from school, protect them, and wilt thou supply for all those that are preparing to receive them for instruction once again. Lord, wilt thou look upon those who are of thy own church, that is thy flock, It is thy own people. And yet there can be such a struggle in the womb, such a warfare, that a people must say with Rebecca of old, if it be so, why am I thus? Lord, wilt thou instruct more and more in that knowledge of self and in that warfare? Because there are two nations in the womb of that people, and there will always be a church militant. Oh, give them then that courage. Teach their hands to war and their fingers to fight. But wilt thou bring them also to an end? Oh, into the impossibility that thy dear and beloved Son, whom thou hast sent into the world to seek and to save that which is lost, to pay the price for thy church, oh, that there may come place for him, that there may come room for him in the heart of thy people, then everything from self has to fall away. Otherwise, there is no room for him. But, Lord, wilt thou bring to that place where he becomes necessary, where he becomes precious, yea, where he becomes suitable to such a one as they are, then thy name will be glorified by beginnings here below and to that never-ending eternity. Remember fathers and mothers, families, children. Give them to honor their father and their mother despite all the shortcomings of father and mother. And wilt thou give them the fear of thy name, love for one another, also husbands and wives, because there can be so much difficulty brought by sin into this world. There can be so much disagreement. But Lord, give self-denial, love for one another, a supporting one another, and a bringing up of our children in the fear of thy name. Remember those that go over this life alone, widows, widowers, and orphans. Also those that are not married, those that have no children, for whom that may be a great cross. Oh, that thou would be near to them in loneliness and in difficult ways. And wilt thou give us all together to be in help for one another, to bear one another's burdens. Lord, wilt thou go before all afflicted ones, those that receive treatments for the needs of the body, even the small children and infants in the congregation, wilt thou supply in all the needs of this life, and teach us to hunger and thirst for another life, that we may understand through all these things that we have here no continuing city, that we may seek one to come. Lord, help us this morning when we are to make a beginning. Oh, show, Lord, that thou art going before us. Show that it is thy own work. Blessed, bring it in the heart of this one or of that one. Glorify thyself, forgive, and keep us from all iniquity. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 164, stanzas 1 through 4. Thou art my God, O God of grace. And earnestly I seek thy face. My heart cries out for thee. My spirit thirsts thy grace to taste. An exile in this desert waste, in which no waters be, in which no waters be. 1 through 4 of Psalter 164. congregation, there came a time, a day in the life of God's servant Moses, after he had spent 40 years in the wilderness, that the Lord appeared unto him and he instructed him to go to the children of Israel, that he was to deliver them out of that land of Egypt and bring them into the land of Canaan. And what was the answer of God's servant Moses unto the Lord? That was, "Behold, they will not believe me, neither will they hearken unto my voice, for they will say that the Lord hath not sent me." There is nothing that Moses could do to change the opinion and to change the thoughts of men. And Moses experienced this also when indeed he did go and he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Then it was as if Moses was standing there before a brazen wall. What could Moses say to convince that man? Even all those plagues that the Lord brought against that land of Egypt that could not change the mind, it could not change that heart of that king Pharaoh. And so that remains also with God's servants, wherever that they may be sent in this world, also unto the churches. Because what lies in the thoughts of men that is not in the hands of God's servants to change. And yet, God's servants do not go without hope and without expectation when they must go according to that call of the Lord. And what is then their hope? That is what we wish to consider together for a few moments in this morning out of the words of our text, which you can find in the portion that was read to you at chapter 16 of the book of Acts, verse 14. Only this part, "whose heart the Lord opened." So far the words of our text. Lydia's heart opened. First, the wonder of this opening. Second, the author and the means of this opening. And third, the fruit of this opening. So Lydia's heart opened. First, the wonder. Second, the author and the means. And third, the fruit of this opening. "Whose heart the Lord opened." Then Luke is not speaking, obviously, in a literal way about the opening of a physical heart. That is very clear. And thus, when he is not speaking in a literal way, that means that he is speaking in a figurative manner, in a symbolic manner, and that he is using these words as an expression. What does that mean then? He speaks here about opening. So when we open something, then before that is opened, then that thing that is closed. Thus, he is speaking here about the first time that something is opened. And when something is opened that before was closed, then there is a certain access, then there is a going in and a coming out. Then there are certain things that are received, and then other things, they are going forth. So then there is a certain communication. And now, then it is spoken here about the opening of the heart, whose heart the Lord opened. That means before, then that heart was closed. Then it is not speaking, boys and girls, about the opening of a house or the church this morning that was opened and we have all come in, and then we hope later also to go out of the church, and next week, if all is well, then the school that has been closed and none come out and go in, but then soon that school that will be opened once again. Then you also will go in and you will go out. But here in God's Word, there is spoken about the opening of something else. That is about the opening of the human heart. That is not the same thing as the opening of the mind. And it does not say whose mind that the Lord opened. No, but it says whose heart. Thus, the work of the Holy Spirit, that is a work upon the heart of a man. Not just on the mind, not just on the understanding. Does that then exclude the understanding of man? No. Not in a normal way, except in a special case. For example, when a person is mentally handicapped, they cannot receive it in their mind, then the Lord, He is able to speak directly to the heart. When there is a very, very little child, an infant, then we know that John the Baptist, then he leaped in his mother's womb. Then his mind that could receive nothing. But the Lord, He can work directly in the heart of His children. But normally speaking, then the Lord, He is working through the mind, but then into the heart. And what is now the difference between that heart and the mind and the understanding? The heart that includes something that the mind does not have. And what is that? That is the will, that is the affections, that is the desires, that is not of the mind of a person. We can know so much in our mind, but have no love for it in our heart. Thus, here lies the power. That power of the Spirit is experienced not in that mind, but in that heart, to give a driving force, even when there is a person who knows so little in his mind. And that is so of such little understanding of the mind, then there is that love planted in the heart. Then we know we also must be careful, because then there is also an affection that is nothing more than a passion. That is so also in this life, young people.
And then there is a what is sometimes called love, but that is only a certain passion. There is also such a thing in the spiritual life. Then there is an affection that goes along with the temporary faith. Think about Pliable in the Pilgrim's Progress. Then he also had some desire and some joy and a certain love that was in his heart. But that is something that can seem so strong and so true, and yet it lies outside of that true affection. So then we need to be careful. On the other hand, the heart congregation that is never affected without the will. Then the Lord has a willing people, we read in His Word, in the day of His power, whose heart the Lord opened. Was not Lydia's heart opened before? Was there nothing then that went into Lydia's heart? And was there nothing that went forth from that heart of Lydia? Certainly there was. Oh, that open heart that belongs to that human nature, because we don't live as a stock and as a stone in this world. But now we may well ask, what was that heart open for? Because we read here, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things that were spoken of Paul. So that is the great difference from before, when there was no attendance on these things. Because by nature our heart is also so open. And by nature, our heart also attends unto certain things. It takes such close heed and it pays such an attention to certain things. They are things that are in this world. And that is not only that our mind pays so much attention and we are so careful about so many things to learn so many things in our mind concerning this world, but also our heart. It is the will, it is the affections. They are so tied to those things that are in this world. But then our heart that is closed for those things that are spoken by God's servants. What are they? They are spiritual things. They are the things of the Lord. Then we have no heart for those things. We have no love for those things. We have no desire for those things. Then those things, they have never become the object of the longing of our heart. Our heart never burned within us concerning those things that are spoken in that house of God. It can be that we have a mind to it. It can be we think that the Bible, yes, that is a very interesting book. Many think that the Bible is a very interesting book. And they love to study the Bible. What a piece of literature that the Scriptures are. And then we read also, so it was with this Lydia. Who was Lydia? She was a Jewish proselyte. We read here in the Bible that she worshipped God. That does not mean that she was truly converted, no. But she has joined herself unto the worshippers of that true God. We read she was a seller of purple. So a seller of very rich and that clothing, the rich clothing for the nobility. And she has come maybe for that reason to this city of Philippi, because we read that she was not from Philippi, but she was from Thyatira. So she had a very profitable occupation in this world. And yet, it seems that Lydia has not found everything in that occupation. She feels that there is something missing. She feels a certain emptiness in her heart when she goes from day to day and she sells and she receives that money for that clothing. And it leaves her empty. Is that also what you may experience in this life? Through all the labors of your hands. And what has she done? She has joined herself to the people of the Lord. We read she worships God. And she joins herself to a people who are also a persecuted people. A people who cannot come, they cannot worship in that city that was a colony of the Romans. So they have to gather outside of that city by that riverside. All this, and yet her heart that remains closed. Still it is for that woman, but an intellectual choice. And now in one moment, we read that for Lydia, that it becomes so different. What do we read? Whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things that were spoken of Paul. Thus, when the Lord is opening that heart, then there is an attention that is upon new objects. Then there is something different that is now being received into that heart. Then there has come place in that heart for something new. Then it is not just new thoughts, no. Then it is not just new meditations, as it may be with so many things that are in this world, but the heart. That means there is a new desire. That there is a new longing. That there is a new hungering. That there is a new will, a new thirst. That is something that woman, she has never experienced in that heart before. That new attention, my soul thirsteth for God. For the living God, when shall I come and appear before God? O congregation, how different then that preaching of the word becomes. How different that a man, a boy, a girl, whether old or young, come to listen in God's house in such a time. Then they have new ears. Why? They have new ears because everything that attains to such a new and great meaning for them. Before that was all just like a lovely song. And maybe they delighted in that song. They agreed with that doctrine. They made confession of faith. They may speak about that doctrine. But now they begin to listen. Now they begin to listen for themselves. They don't want to hear about new things anymore. No, but they begin to feel something of that power. They begin to feel something of that warmth. They begin to feel something of that burning of the heart that we can read of God's people. They begin to see something of the great value, of the great preciousness of that portion of God's church. That is not known to the man, the woman, the boy or girl that maybe sits next to them. No, but that is felt in the heart. And then there is a difference, congregation, between life and death. Between light and darkness. Between the form and the power. And that is that difference that you and I cannot miss. That is that difference that we need to experience, every one of us, in our life. Oh, it is the greatest wonder if our heart that may begin to attend unto spiritual things, that they may begin to enter into our heart. Outwardly, that was so different. A way between Paul and Lydia, how that the Lord has led them. But it is that same work. And so it was with Paul, so it was with Lydia. Maybe you say, is that now possible for me? That also that miracle that may take place, that my heart, that may also go open, my heart that is open for all the world, I must confess that. That is my love, that is my will, that is my desire. But oh, could it be that my heart may go open for those spiritual things? Have you such a desire? We want to consider that in our second thought, the author and the means of this opening, whose heart the Lord opened. Thus, it was not Paul. Paul did not open that heart of Lydia. Thus, it was not Lydia. Lydia did not open her own heart. But that opening of the heart, that is that special work of the Holy Spirit, that is to give life in the soul, that is from the dead, that where there was no attention to those things, that there may come attention to those things. King Agrippa, he says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Is that possible? That Paul would persuade King Agrippa to be a Christian? No. That is impossible. Paul has spoken to many, many people the same words. Paul has wept those same tears before them all. But they became not all Christians. Today, thousands are persuaded to be a Christian, are persuaded to accept the Lord Jesus, to come, to believe, to trust in Him. But it all belongs to the intelligence. It all belongs to the mind. It has the wrong author. There is no change of state from death unto life. It is only a change of the opinion. It is only a change of the lifestyle. It is only a change of the confession. Whose heart the Lord opened. That is only hope, the only expectation of God's servants. That was the only hope for Paul. And congregation, it is our only hope in the midst of you. Moses, he says, I am of a slow speech and of a slow tongue. But the Lord said to Moses, he says, go and I will be with you. And not only so, but he says, they shall hearken unto thy voice. That was not what Moses could do, no. But that is what the Lord promised to Moses, whose heart the Lord opened. That is that wonder that God's servants, they are depending upon. That is according to the promise that the Lord has spoken to his servants, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Congregation, did that ever now become your only hope and your only expectation? Is there here a people who cannot open your own heart? Is there here a people who cannot give themselves one true desire, one true tear, one true longing, that cannot give to yourself what you know is the blessed portion of God's people, and what you know you ought to be, to hunger and to thirst after that living God? Is there here a people who cannot bring your own will to agree with that will of the Lord? Or is there here a people who cannot set your affection on the things that are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God? That cannot give yourself to weep that you have sinned against such a good doing God as he is? Do you feel that impossibility? Do you feel that utter helplessness, that deadness of our natural state, the wretchedness? Oh, do you mourn over such a state and condition, whose heart the Lord opened? Congregation, is that not a wonder? That the Lord opened that heart. That the Lord does open that heart. And does that not open a possibility in all your impossibility? A possibility in that good pleasure of the Lord, whose heart the Lord opened. Does that not give you a little courage to cry unto the Lord? To supplicate it from above. To beg the Lord. To say, Lord, come also into my heart. And give me such a heart to fear thy name. Oh, how easily that the Lord, he can come to do it. To speak but one word, to make that hard heart so tender, and to make that unrepentant heart so contrite. One moment. He is the author. He is the beginning of that work. And him alone, whose heart the Lord opened. And how does he open that heart? He opens that heart congregation by the use of the means. Because what we read here, we read, Paul says, a certain woman heard us. That was the means that the Lord has used. What a wonder. Such a great miracle as the opening of the heart for spiritual things, and it is accomplished by such a simple means. She heard us. Do you ever consider this? All we need, that is, to hear. How shall we believe in whom, him of whom that we have not heard? Hearing. That is so simple. And yet that simple hearing, that is the means of such a great change, such a great miracle. A new life from the dead. Then we don't need technology. Then we don't need for this all the inventions of the men of this world. The Lord has devised the means. And that means that is so simple, only to hear. Not to see. No, then we don't need the television. We don't need videos, plays, DVDs, all those things. For the spreading of the gospel, the internet, no. No. The apostles lived in a time that they also could have made use of what was so common in the time that they lived and the place that they lived, that was the theater. And they did not go to the theater and say, now, well, we want to act something out. No. It was that simple preaching, faith that cometh by hearing, the Lord's way. And a certain woman heard us. Then we don't need to be wiser than the Lord. And a certain woman heard us. So simple. Maybe, congregation, we despise this because it is so simple. Maybe then there are times that we stay home. We say we have no desire to hear today. It's not going to make any difference anyway. Maybe especially under the reading services. You say, they are powerless. How can that do anything? How can I receive anything from it? I have been hearing that for so many years in my life. Yes, that is true. Those means, they are so simple. They are so weak. It is also called the foolishness of preaching by a mere man. But where is the power? It is that it is the institution of the Lord, the mighty God of the heavens and of the earth, and that it pleases him to bless those simple means and to give a people to hear. And a certain woman heard us. That was the time, congregation, of the good pleasure of the Lord for Lydia to hear. That was the moment that the Lord, he would open that heart of Lydia upon her hearing and perform that miracle in her heart. And when Lydia had not gone that morning to that riverside, Oh, then she had never heard. Then she had missed it. And her heart that had not been opened. Oh, we cut ourselves off from the blessing when we despise the means. The Lord's work, so free, so sovereign, but He has His own means. And if we despise them, then we also forfeit His blessing. Oh, what shall it be one day if we are cast out forever and forever, and to think that one time when the doors of God's house had been opened and I had willfully stayed away, then the worm that shall never die. Congregation, how do we come under the preaching? How do we come under the reading of God's holy word? It is not in the means. Everything that is lying for us as a congregation, that is all lying in the power of God. And what are we waiting for? When we are coming up together, or we are waiting for a miracle. That is what we are looking for. Or is that what we are asking for? Or we ask you, congregation, young people, children, will ask you to do one thing. And that is, before that you come up to God's house on the Sabbath day, then I ask you if you will go upon your knees in your secret chamber and ask for one thing, that is for the Lord to be in our midst, for the Lord to give a blessing, for the Lord to help us to preach, but especially for the Lord to open our heart. All we ask you, when you come through the doors of God's house, if you will sit in the pew, if you will read something of God's holy word, but if you will also fold your hands once again and to say, Lord, Lord, it cannot come from this man. Oh, wilt thou come? Wilt thou open my heart, we ask you, when you are listening, moment by moment in the church, and that you are every moment with a cry in your heart that is going out after God. Oh, Lord, come. Lord, come and work that miracle in me and in my children and in my grandchildren. Let us sing. Psalter 228. 1, 2, and 3. Lord God of hosts in mercy, my supplication hear. Almighty and all faithful, our Father's God, give ear. Our shield and great defender, no longer hide thy face, but look upon thy servant anointed by thy grace. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 228. Our last thought, the fruit of the opening of the heart. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, "If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." And she constrained us. And when she was baptized, what is that? What is baptism? That is a sacrament of incorporation into God's church. That through incorporation into that true church that takes place in the moment of regeneration that is taking place when that heart is opened. Thus, Lydia is already one of that true church that is the work of God's Spirit. Then he makes that people a member of that church. But then there is also a visible church on the earth. And that is a church that we ought to join ourselves unto by the command of the Lord, because there is only one God and there is only one church. And we hope also in the months to come, young people, that there will be also those who have a desire to join themselves to that church, because for that true church, it is not only a command, no, but it becomes for them a desire. Then it is not a heavy yoke. The fruit of the opening of that heart, that is love for that true church of God. Then they want to be one with that true church. How was that in the heart of Ruth? Then she says, "Thy people, my people." She had a longing to be part of that church. But now that church that also has a responsibility concerning their families, because when Israel refused to be circumcised, then we read that they were cut off from among their people. Moses was unequally yoked with a Midianitish woman. It was Zipporah. And that woman loathed that circumcision. She would not allow her son to be circumcised. And that meekest man of all the earth was not able to contend with that woman, until the Lord comes to destroy Moses, and then that woman has circumcised her son out of bitterness of heart. But when the Lord is coming, it is so different, because it is then not only a responsibility, but then it is also a desire. We read here of her household. She was also instructing her household, and they were received into that outward visible church, the same as we do on the mission fields today. Received in baptism under Lydia's instruction, the same as the household of Abraham that was received in a circumcision. The fruit of the opening of the heart. Love for the church of God. Love for the Lord. Love, true love for my children. Love also for God's servants. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, "If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there, and she constrained us. It seems like she was a rich woman, that she had the means to host him and those that were with him. And we read, and she constrained us. Paul, he hesitates. He does not want to be a burden to anyone. But that woman, she will not let him say no. Paul and Silas, they are the instruments of her conversion. And it is by them that she is made a partaker of spiritual things. And then those natural things, she wants to minister unto them. How is that, people of the Lord? Do you remember when the Lord has opened your heart that you may attend for the first time to those things that were spoken by God's servants? Then you look back on that time with very fond memories. Oh, you say, what blessed times. Times when the whole world can pass by and it would not bother you. Times when truly your affection, the love, the desire that was set on those things that are above. And how is it today? Is it still so? Or in that time, when that heart that is open for the things of the Lord and it was closed to all the world, and now what? Oh, then slowly, then your heart that has gone open for the things of the world again. And when that happens, then that heart that goes closed again for the Lord. And that is such a sad experience. That is to the shame of God's church. And what do you need? Well, what can you do? Try to make it different, yes. But you cannot make it different. Then the Lord, He has to be the first one again. You experience that. And then you need, by renewal, that the Lord, He would open your heart once again for those things. And then especially for His only begotten Son. But congregation, did the Lord ever open your heart that you may attend unto those things that are spoken by God's servant? That is, not were you ever enlightened by a certain sermon that you say, yeah, I never forget it because I really learned something under that sermon. No. We can do that in the universities, in the colleges, and the things, they can come in our mind. But I speak about the love, the desire, the will, the affection, the heart. Did the Lord ever open your heart? The longing of your soul. So that the carnal things, they mean so little. And the spiritual things, they mean everything. Whose heart the Lord opened. That is why Paul, he was sent here to Philippi. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Then there was a woman there. And that woman had to be converted. Or are there those that may be in our midst whose hearts, congregation, have to go opened? Or is there a people? Are there boys and girls
that say, Lord, could it be me? Could it be me? That blessing depends not on us, no. But that blessing that depends on the Lord. And oh, may we then become as this little group by that riverside. And what do we read of that people? That was a place where prayer was wont to be made. Oh, may that be our portion. Amen. Lord of heaven and of earth, thou didst open the heart of Lydia under the preaching of thy servant. O Lord, use us too. It is a different time, and we are not as thy servant, Paul, but Lord, that thou hast called us too. Thou hast sent us to this place, and it all awaits thy blessing. Oh, we beseech thee for that one thing, to open the hearts of many in the midst of us. Oh, that together we may attend to those things of thy word. Forgive all that was sinful in preaching and in listening. Bring us safely to our homes. Give us desire to be together again in this afternoon hour. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 304, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 6. Oh, give the Lord wholehearted praise. To him thanksgiving I will bring. With all his people I will raise my voice and of his glory sing. 1, 2, 3, and 6 of Psalter number 304. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.